here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, August 22nd, 2013. It's the birthday of Dorothy Parker, born Dorothy Rothschild in West End, New Jersey in 1893. She's remembered as one of the great wits of the 20th century, even though she only wrote a few books of poetry and short stories. She started her career in an era where slick magazines were one of the most popular forms of entertainment. The writers for these magazines wrote in a jaded, wisecracking tone of voice, and it was Dorothy Parker who proved that women could wisecrack just as well as men. Parker was 4 feet and 11 inches tall, and she loved to swear. The drama critic Alexander Wolcott described her as a blend of Little Nell and Lady Macbeth. She was the only woman who belonged to the famous group of New York writers who met every day at the round table of the Algonquin Hotel to trade witticisms and gossip. It's also the birthday of science fiction writer Ray Bradbury, born in Waukegan, Illinois in 1920. When he was 12 years old, a traveling carnival came to town, and Bradbury met a magician named Mr. Electrico, who talked to him about reincarnation and immortality, and those ideas excited Bradbury so much that he withdrew from his friends and devoted himself to exploring his own imagination. One night, Bradbury was out for a walk when a policeman pulled up on the side of the road to ask what he was doing. He said, "I was so irritated the police would bother to ask me what I was doing when I wasn't doing anything. I went home and wrote a story." That story became the novella The Fireman, and eventually it grew into his first and best-known novel, Fahrenheit 451, published in 1953. It's the birthday of Annie Prue, born in Norwich, Connecticut in 1935. She was virtually unknown until she burst on the literary scene when she was in her late 50s. She said, "I think that's important, to know how the water's gone over the dam before you start to describe it. It helps to have been over the dam yourself." To write her book, Postcards, Prue traveled back and forth across America, stopping in all the places where her homeless main character worked and lived. After she finished that novel, she stumbled upon a map of Newfoundland. She said, "Each place name had a story, Dead Man's Cove, Seldom Come Bay, Bay of Despair, Plunder Beach. I knew I had to go there, and within 10 minutes of arriving, I had fallen in love." The result was her novel, Shipping News, which became a bestseller and won the Pulitzer Prize. And here's a poem by Kelly Groom entitled Oldest Map of the World. There's a circle in the center, a clock face, an eye, but it's the ring of water surrounding Earth that I dove through for the first time. I'd always been too claustrophobic, afraid I'd drown or the force would snap my neck. But it's like Perrier, light and bubbling, electrical, so that when I come through on the other side, I'm laughing. 50 miles from Baghdad is the view from Babylon, where the U.S. military builds a helipad and parking lots on top of what was once one of the 7 wonders. And here we found the first map of the world made of clay, so small it fits in the palm of a hand, the Euphrates emptying into your wrist, and to the north, fingers shade the triangles of mountains. Oldest Map of the World, a poem by Kelly Groom from her book Five Kingdoms, published by Anhinga Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. This is Billy Collins for the Writer's Almanac, hoping you will join us next time.